So, have you guys been to give Mike Minotti a gaming journalism job?
Oh, yeah.
WordPress.com?
Yes, I have been.
Ad guy?
Yeah. Do you have a job yet?
That part will come soon enough. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 14th, 2009. This is me, Mike Minotti.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I usually introduce you on this show, don't I?
Yes.
And there's Asguy Minotti.
Hello.
Hey, we got Joe Shinogu Chu.
Hello.
I love that name. And Beige.
Hello.
Mark Whiting, Beige.
How are you, gentlemen?
Yeah, you know. We're doing good. I'm feeling pretty good today.
Yay.
I had minor surgery. I went to second half of a Major League Baseball game. Got my article pimped, so it's been a fun day.
All right. Good for you.
Yep. I don't have a big head about it or anything.
No.
Clearly.
You only went from ready to fall asleep to wide awake.
I was pretty excited.
Upon receiving my text message.
I was jumping all over the place. All right. Let's get this energy up here, guys. Let's go.
Ooh,
this is the Exploding Barrel Podcast. That's right.
More or less. Okay,
not, back up a little bit.
Sorry, you don't like my hip-hop stylings? All right. Let's just talk about video games.
Yeah, we'll do that, because we're going to start with the news. Then, big segment, it's either or.
Oh, boy. Either or is... We got two on two now.
Yeah, it's going to be intense. Well, I'm more of a moderator. I guess I kind of jump in at the end. But yeah, it'll be good stuff. Then we're going to do the quiz. Then we'll just do our week in gaming, do the game releases, and that'll be the whole show. We're going to start with the NPBs.
Woo!
So, Adsguy, just jump in there with the nips.
All right, hardware for July's. The Nintendo DS sitting pretty at 538,900 units. The Wii, probably with its lowest sales ever, at 252,500.
Still leads all other... consoles.
Yes. Well, the Xbox not far behind at 202,900.
I'm kind of surprised that we didn't see any sort of boost with Wii Sports Resort. I mean, that came out pretty late in the month, I guess, but
yeah.
Still.
Let's see. PlayStation Portable, 122,800. PlayStation 3, 121,800. So 1,000 unit tests. And PlayStation 2 at 108,000.
I'm glad the PS2 is still hanging
around. Yeah.
Jeez, that's an 80,000 deficit between 360 and PS3 this month. It just blows my mind how much the 360 continues to just pull ahead. They need to get that Slim out, although I really don't think that's going to...
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that Slim.
I'm surprised with these Wii numbers. You are right. Like, you'd think the Sports Resort would have... It almost makes me think maybe we're just finally hitting a saturation point with the Wii. They sold so many so fast.
You think that.
Wii Sports Resort seems a lot like Fool Me Once, Shame on Me, Fool Me Twice. You can't get fooled again.
But I like Wii Sports Resort.
But, Wii Sports Resort, but the game itself is selling.
Sure.
It wasn't out all that long.
I just
long.
Mean that, I don't know, is it a reason to buy? I don't know.
It's as much a reason to buy as maybe Wii Fit was for a lot of people.
The biggest problem with Wii Sports Resort is to play it, quote-unquote, properly with, like, four people and everything. Not only do you have to buy the game for $50, but you have to spend another $60 on three more Wii Motion Pluses.
Well, okay. Maybe.
Well, you're the only guys I know who've played it. Is it worth buying Wii Motion Pluses for?
Well, it's...
We had one with Tiger Woods and one that came with... the game,
right.
So we just had them. I didn't go out and buy more for $20. And maybe at least one. I don't know about four.
I guess I can see a Wii Sports Resort. It's probably not going to move that many systems, because anyone's going to buy this game probably has Wii Sports. So they already have Wii, and now they're just picking up the sequel, you know? So this probably won't move systems like something Wii Fit did. I don't know what like the Wii's next system moving game is going to be. Maybe new Super Mario Brothers Wii.
No, it's that Vitality Sensor.
Of course.
That game.
Oh.
Yeah, this is the next big thing. You watch it, we'll be. We're all going to look like idiots.
I know. I'm waiting for it.
All right. How about the rest of these software numbers?
Software. Wii Sports Resort number one at 508,200. well south of my 1.1 million prediction. NCAA Football 10, first on the 360 at 376,500, then on the PS3 at 237,400. Wii Fit at 164,300.
Yeah, skip the numbers from now on.
Okay, Mario Kart Wii, then Mario Kart DS, then Pokemon Platinum.
Jesus.
I know.
Yay!
I love Mario Kart Wii and Mario Kart. I like Mario Kart DS. How old is that game?
Like 2004. I don't know. Pretty old.
Man.
You got Fight Night Round 4 in there, then New Super Mario Brothers in the DS, and then EA Sports Active.
Yeah, EA Sports Active is hanging around
there.
Jeez,
look. Number 10 on the list, EA Sports Active, 96,800 units. Not a lot of sales this month. Right? Not a lot came out.
Right. Last month's top seller prototype, not on the list this time.
We are in sort of the dry spell. I've noticed that myself. I'm glad that I stocked up last time we had the chance to circle the wagons.
Right, well, August is going to be pretty awesome, just with Batman, Prime Trilogy.
Part 3 didn't sell like when that came out, then, but do you think it's going
to sell? Well, I'm not talking about sales.
No,
that's
sales, just things we're happy about.
Just awesome games. Shadow
Although I expect Batman to sell pretty well, really. Batman's kind of a pretty in property right now. All right, so what else we have now?
All right, for the curious, the OnLive beta has been confirmed by Big Download in an interview to still be happening some point this summer. Still don't know when, but I still look forward to it because new internet connection in my new apartment, I was pulling 17 megabits per second the other day.
Now, are you signed up for this?
I'm signed up for the beta. You can still sign up at their website. And I mean, no invites have gone out or anything, but I mean, they still say summer, and summer's almost done, so I presume soon.
Is this the cloud?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Cloud computing.
What does it matter if your connection's good then? Oh, that's right. You need a good connection, you need not a good computer.
You need over 5 to get HD.
No, man.
Let's see.
What do you have?
17. That's what I just said.
17 what?
Megabits.
Oh, okay. Didn't know what we were actually talking about.
Brother. Guitar Hero 5. First of all, the game is going to allow downloading of World Tour and Smash Hits tracks. There are 6 tracks from World Tour that won't be coming over. The way it works is you'll pay like a small fee to transfer, much like Rock Band. You'll use the 20-digit code in the back of your instructions to download it, and you're downloading them. You're not ripping them from the disc. Apparently, they're adding in like there's new like band moments and vocal star power, so they had to rework them all.
That's pretty cool, though.
All the DLC except for 6 songs, we don't know which ones, will also not be coming over. They didn't say anything about Guitar Hero Metallica. It'd be cool if that came.
No,
over
I don't
too.
Think so. I don't think like Guitar Metallica or Guitar Hero Aerosmith. And it'll be easier for Guitar Hero Metallica because they already have the band thing.
Right.
I just don't see that happening.
It's
like you're not going to be able to just put your Rock Band and Beatles songs on Rock Band 2.
Well, yeah. So when you do this, in the 360 and PS3, you'll just download the whole thing. It's just one file. On the Wii, it'll let you pick and choose as the Wii's memory limitations are more severe. It will be the first game to support 32-gigabyte high-density SD cards, or whatever they're called.
SD high-capacity.
That's it. Thank you.
I have to say, I kind of like the way Guitar Hero 5's looking. And plus, it'll have competition, Beatles Rock Band, but that's kind of a different thing than if there was Rock Band 3.
Right.
But I think it looks. I mean, if it's going to have all these tracks,
there's going to be this land rush in the beginning of the game's release to get like cheap used copies of World Tour and Smash Hits before their codes get used up.
Right.
Let's see. Also, if you buy Guitar Hero 5 that are especially marked packages in the month of September, you're going to get Van Halen for free and early.
It's kind of.
I think it's a vote of no confidence in this game's potential.
I think it's just more. I don't think Guitar Hero Van Halen is going to be as big a product as, say, Guitar Hero Metallica. Certainly not as much as, like, Beatles Rock Band. I don't think that much
That's
work is being put in.
That's why I said it's a vote of no confidence.
Well, there's a difference between vote of no confidence and they're aiming lower. That's what I'm saying, that this isn't supposed to be, like. I'm saying this is probably something more akin to, like, the AC/DC live pack for Rock Band with a bit more of a Van Halen skin around it.
Right.
Probably $20 more expensive. Like, I don't think they're going to expect it to really sell that well. I mean, even Metallica didn't sell probably as well as they'd hoped. I don't know what they can possibly expect from Van Halen.
Right. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 fans love PlayStation 3. Not only did the game finally come out this week, they've confirmed a retail package for the PS3 version. It's a GameStop exclusive. Along with a digital download code, you get an 8-page color manual, a 1-month subscription to Marvel Digital Comics, and 2,000 Capcom Unity points.
No, I think Capcom, they confirmed they took out those points.
You do not get 2,000 Capcom Unity points.
So really, you're walking to a store to buy an instruction manual?
And a month subscription to Marvel Digital Comics.
If people don't want to get taxed, some people like want to dodge like the network tax, then they get it from GameStop.
You'll still probably have to pay tax.
No, because you just some people don't. Well, that's a case by case basis.
Right.
There's a lot of cool things you could have done with a special edition for Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I mean, the obligatory soundtrack, get like an original comic in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are Capcom Unity points? I know they're not in this.
I have no idea.
It's for their own community thing, like the auction system. You bid in like a certain number of points or something like that to win items, that sort of thing. Like collectible Capcom stuff, like those Servbot mugs or something like that.
Oh, fun. Okay. World of Warcraft fans, rumors abound of the next expansion being called Cataclysm, with two new races. The Alliance will be getting Worgen, and Goblins will become playable for the Horde.
Furries rejoice.
Yeah, I guess so. These don't seem like terribly exciting races.
The Walrus Men were exciting. The Goblins I've seen.
Oh, before. Yeah.
Right.
Goblins have been all over the place. Worgen, I don't know. They don't look that. I mean, they're pretty much just werewolf people. It's not like the Draenei where, like, we look cool as shit. Or, you know, at least Blood Elves kind of had the purpose, I guess. I don't know.
I feel bad for the people who have to come up with both a male and female skin for each of these races, because, really, those female goblins are pretty ugly ass. You know?
It's not like the female gnomes were any, you know, big lookers.
I'm just saying.
They were at least cute.
No, they weren't.
Girls thought they were cute.
The girl goblins pretty much just have lipstick, right?
Yeah,
pretty
she's much, yeah. Princess Shrek.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully there'll be more to it. Hopefully there'll be another hero class. I don't know what this one's going to be about. You think after this one, I'm sure they're going to do a lot more, but I feel like they're going to have a harder time keeping the story aspect up with it. I mean, presumably you're going to destroy Arthas. So it's like, I guess unless they go, like, after, like, the big evil final boss god of Warcraft, I don't know where else they're going to go with this.
They'll it's probably just, you know, end WoW. It's done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I bet they won't end well.
I bet they'll keep. Craft.
Yeah, they'll probably just have aliens and transdimensional beings start showing up.
It better not be. I read the Dark Sword trilogy when I was in grade 11, and it's two and a half books of high fantasy, and then in the middle of book 3, the portal opens and the spacemen come in with laser beams and tanks. It fucking sucked. So I'm just saying, if you change up your genre in the middle of a fantasy series or something like that. Yeah, you deserve to be circle beat. Well, I'm so mad about that.
Some people thought that Burning Crusade did that a bit, because a lot of people were upset with how the Draenei kind of had like a space feel to them, like they came from space. But it was still such a fantasy sort of thing. And it wasn't really space, it was more like a strange interdimensional spacey thing.
The color purple helped with that.
Doesn't it always?
Everything about the Draenei is very purpley.
They're basically Protossy.
Yeah, except... Not
well, they had that look to some of the.
Yeah, no, sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's next?
All right. If you're wondering why you can't have more than 100 friends on your friends list on Xbox Live, we all know for a while this is something with the original Xbox Live infrastructure, and the reason they're not doing anything about it is because Halo 2 is just so gosh darn popular. So really, it comes down to either kill Halo 2's multiplayer and all of the original Xbox multiplayer, or have a limit. Which, honestly, the only reason I think this gets as publicized as it does is, like, the people who hit this problem are probably, like, games journalists who are getting hammered with friends requests, so they talk about it. I mean, the average person does not have 100 people on their friends list. I can't imagine that's the majority of Xbox Live users.
I certainly don't.
I don't know that many people.
I mean, half of the friends I do have, and it's not many, I don't even really remember who they are.
Right.
It's like from the early days of Xbox Live, I was like, I want to be your friend because we played one game together. I'm like, yeah, all right. But, yeah, I don't know. I could have cared either way. I won't be upset if they destroy Halo 2's multiplayer. I won't be upset if it stays at 100 friends.
Right. All right. It looks like I was right. There's a leaked scan of a Meyer catalog.
You were right. You were just reporting somebody else's rumor.
I thought that when I first read that. I saw the picture. I was like, here's what that's going on.
Yeah, okay, right. Good job.
The Meyer catalog scan shows an Elite at a new price of $299. No mention of the Pro. I imagine they'll kind of do what they did like when they had the 20 gigs. They'll drop that like $50. You'll have 189 arcades, 249 Pros till they're gone, and then 299 Elites.
I'm surprised you just don't get rid of the arcade. Which ones... is it possible to see, like, the SKU numbers? Like, what SKU sells the best?
I don't know.
Anybody know what the price of a Wii is these days?
$250.
Right,
because when the price of the 360 gets down lower than the price of the Wii, I have a terrible feeling like something cataclysmic is going to happen.
Well, I mean, technically it is. I mean, the $199 360 arcade comes with half gigabyte of internal memory, same as the Wii.
And yeah, like, so suck on that, beige.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
There's something not right with the world.
I get the feeling that eventually maybe these prices will stick for a while, and then we'll get to a $399 tall SKU or something.
My thing with Wii, if the Wii was able to glide through, it's 2008, which I thought was just, in terms of software quality, terrible year for them. Like, horrible. They had Mario Galaxy... and, Mario Galaxy was 2007. They had Smash Bros. Like earlier in the year, and that was like it. So, if they got through that, I think they can get through almost anything now, just on the kind of fattiness of it. And yeah, all fads kind of fade out eventually, but Nintendo kind of has this way of, you know, getting out of the limelight, then resurging when you least expect them to. And, you know, this is one of their longer stays in the spotlight.
So, of the companies that needed to do some adjusting to their hardware SKUs, I didn't think it was Microsoft. Still waiting for that PS3 Slim announcement.
Keep waiting.
Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the rumor. Everyone thinks what's it called? Gamescom?
Yes.
Gamescom.
Germany. All right.
Michael, when's BlizzCon? Real quick. When's BlizzCon? Anybody?
Soon.
I know it's like a week, right?
Yeah, like a week or two.
I want Blizzard. I mean, I want a Diablo 3 news.
Diablo 3 steal PS3's thunder.
Maybe the StarCraft 2 beta will start that day.
Whatever. Maybe the beta will be delayed to 2010.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Shocking, I know.
All right.
Okay, I'll let you take this one, Mike. Team Fortress 2 classless update.
Yeah, we had a new update, and people were, you know, at first it seemed underwhelming because they did the updates in three parts. And first, all we knew is that there wouldn't be a class update to it, which was a first, I think. At least first since they started doing them. And, like, also, like, at first, like, the big thing is, like, there's a lot more hats. And, you know, the hats don't really do anything. A and B, they drop pretty much never.
Right.
But then they started announcing some other things. Just, there's a lot of neat new maps they added. The one I tried was CTF Sawmill, which, first off, addresses my major complaint that there are just not enough Capture the Flag maps in
the
game.
This is the arena map, right?
No. If there's an arena version of it, maybe. But
it says right there, Arena Sawmill has been reworked. Is this the one with the big cabin in the middle?
It says right here in a much bigger font, CTF Sawmill.
Yeah, but I'm saying they reworked Arena Sawmill into a CTF map. It's not original, is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, and I remember that map you're talking about. I can tell you that besides from a theme of logging, they have nothing in common.
Okay.
They don't look anything alike. Actually, there's even, there's CTF Sawmill, then I guess there's Arena Sawmill. But there's also there's a new play type called King of the Hill. There's King of the Hill Sawmill. Also, it's worth noting out that Arena Sawmill is sunny, CTF Sawmill is rainy, and King of the Hill Sawmill is snowy.
Fun.
Which is kind of neat. But even King of the Hill Sawmill, as far as I could tell, is a completely different map layout. But I was just happy with CTF Sawmill that we had, like, Capture the Flag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it says right here, seriously, is there anything this map can't do? But it's weird to me because I don't know why they would keep using that same name again when it almost kind of gives off this image like they're reusing a map.
I guarantee this map is more like the other one than you think it is.
I'm telling you, the CTF one is definitely not at all like the arena one at all. The arena one was like circular and there's one tower in the middle. Not like that at all. Anyways, there's a bunch, there's some other maps, I think at least one big one. Maybe just this one. I don't know.
Community map, CP UConn.
So, yeah, there's a capture point map, Utah, and a new arena map, Off Blast, and King of the Hill, Vlad Duct.
Viaduct?
I thought that was Russian.
Vlad Duct?
I thought it was Russian, like, you know, Vladimir.
Right.
Anyway.
Quite new. Anyways, but there's actually, more so than like a lot of the other ones, there's a lot of changes just to the game's kind of infrastructure and sort of balancing things.
Give me the highlights.
What one that I think is interesting is that engineers' teleporters are now more tied together. So they take damage together now. You repair them together. If someone saps one teleporter, they sap the other one, which is nice because there's always a problem where an engineer could only protect one side of his teleporter, and if the other side got attacked, he really couldn't do anything about it because by the time he got over there, unless like you were working with someone who said, "Hey, protect my teleporter for me," and you know that's probably not going to happen. So I think that's pretty interesting. And there's just a lot of other interesting changes. A lot of things got balanced. The scouts, force of nature. wait, no, actually, I don't think that was changed at all.
Yeah, it was.
What about it?
They changed the way the knockback works.
Oh, really? But there's a lot of little changes. I can go through it.
There's the list at the TeamFortress.com website. Right.
But, yeah, there's a lot of things here. I don't want to go through this
whole thing. I want to see what these losing animations look like.
Oh, yeah, so also when you lose now, you have, like, special losing animations. They added a lot more character even than they already had. So it's a lot of good stuff. I enjoy it. All right. We're done with the news then.
You guys do... I thought you were going to mention the Dragon Age thing that came out today. Did you guys see that?
Go ahead.
BioWare is... I'm interested in it because I try and keep an eye on stunts that companies are doing to get people to buy new games. And BioWare announced that for Dragon Age, what they were going to do is, among other things, if you don't buy the game new, then you don't get one of the companions that you could normally get in the game. Some sort of golem or henchman or something like that. So, I mean, the way I was reading it, it would be like if you played Mass Effect and didn't get Rex, unless you buy it new.
Ooh.
Bought it new. But there's also some, like, armor that you get with a code. And
it's like a whole mission. I mean, it's kind of what Epic did with Gears of War 2 in that, that map pack that was, like, remakes of classic maps where you got the free code, and then if you didn't buy it new, you could still get that, but you had to pay for it. That was $5. This one, to download it separately from the game, is $15.
Yeah, I have a.
So you may as well buy new.
Yeah, I have a significant problem with games that ship with vastly different content like that as a new / used, you know, push. I don't care if Atlas throws a plushie or an art book or something like that, but when you start stripping characters and things out of the game, that's not cool. Like, just put it on digital distribution if you're that worried about it, but. I don't know. The whole used game market thing is very... I don't know. It's quite interesting to me. I follow it closely, so...
I hope Best Buy is able to smite it once and for all with their crazy new policy.
No,
I like
how... Counterattack.
That's not much... GameStop's response to it was like, well, we're going to lower our prices on used games. Won't Best Buy still just match those prices?
Well, yeah, they can't afford it. Pachter said that thing's going to fail, and he's right. They can't afford to do that.
Well,
GameStop makes a profit on even a game that's $10 because $10 off because it's basically nothing but gravy to them if you buy a used one. But you know, Best Buy can't do that; they only make it $5 profit on a game anyway. So
I guess I just have to just being hopeful.
It'd be nice. I mean, kind of crazy arms race. It's good for us, but shitty for developers.
See, there's a point, though, where the used games, like, it's kind of bizarre when it's, like, people are trading in, you know, Madden right before the next one comes out. They're trading in games that are only 6 months old. But, I mean, we kind of thrive off used games for, like, when we do some missions. Like, when we did the Silent 2 mission, I mean, you know, what else was I going to do but, you know, hit up their used game bins at a GameStop to find that.
Well, there needs to be...
It's a love or hate thing, you know? Yeah,
there needs to be a downloadable option there because, you know, I'm not on the side of the used games. As much good as it is for us, it's really, really bad for the industry. And when you think of something like Heavy Rain, which is exactly the kind of game that I want to play, but it's also exactly the kind of game I can see being flipped in a weekend when somebody rents it or buys it, finishes it, trades it in. The only kind of things that have sticking power are stuff like Call of Duty 4, which I don't really want to play, heavily multiplayered, or things like Burnout that are just sort of infinitely... You know, downloadable. So, you know, it's a concern.
I get you.
Because, yeah, like you said, I mean, we had to give our money to GameStop for Silent Hill 2. I would have rather given it to Konami.
Well, exactly.
There's no way to
do it. Publishers, they have the ability now with digital distribution kicking in to kind of bypass all this.
It's but, true. Your Xbox can now install games on it, although my 2 gigs or whatever free on my hard drive, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
The Wolfenstein guy, you see that?
Oh, yeah. If it sells more than Madden, Wolfenstein is free. Good luck with that.
Yeah. He says, if on the month it comes out, according to the MPDs, if Wolfenstein sells more than Madden, and you first like get to follow him on Twitter, then you have to like show him your receipt, he'll pay you for the game.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's not going to happen, so that's what, that's, you know.
I don't know. This is the like, kind of playing chicken with the internet doesn't work.
I thought you were going to say be free henceforth, and I'm like, well, then I'm not going to buy it if it might be free.
You get, like, reimbursed by him.
Interesting. That's like that time Howard Stringer offered, like, $500
or, like, $1,000.
Oh, Jack Trent, you're right. We're like, he's like, I'll give you $1,000 for your PS3. You could find it in the Penny Arcade, did their little scavenger hunt.
Right. But, well, it was good times. I feel like now there was something else I wanted to bring up. But, what?
Grin, they shut down.
Yeah,
that is,
What ad guy? A major studio shut down. It's not on our news.
Yeah, a lot of studios have been shut down. I kind of stopped reporting on it. Although this one does have an interesting dimension. So, you know, Grin, they made Biocommando and Biocommando. Rearmed, they did Wanted, Weapons of Fate, Terminator Salvation.
Well, I didn't realize they also did Rearmed.
Yeah.
People liked Rearmed more. That's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, what's
sad
happened?
About that?
It's sad that they're sort of prettied up. Nintendo game was more popular than their brand new.
I had a sense that it was going to happen.
AAA game.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not. I enjoyed Bionic Commando, but it was really uneven. So it was the kind of thing that you'd have to look beyond its flaws to enjoy.
I'm not even saying anything about the quality of Bionic Commando. I'm just saying that Bionic Commando Rearmed sold better, was much more well received, just seemed more generally popular.
Anyway, the kind of funny thing is, you know, they issued a statement. And, you know, they said basically what happened is you know, an unnamed publisher was delaying payment, and it just screwed them over. Then in their continued letter, they thanked their partners, Ubisoft and Capcom, and did not thank Warner Brothers. So I'm guessing Warner Brothers didn't pay up for Wanted and Terminator.
Wow.
That's what you get for making a Wanted game.
Yeah, that is addictive. But the thing is, the Wanted is supposed to be, everyone said it was like one of those good like B-level shooters.
Yeah, everyone said it wasn't
bad. I like the demo, okay.
Yeah, you know.
Some of them went on to form a new studio, so hopefully they'll be okay.
Right. This is too
focused
bad,
on downloads.
I knew that they had to really put pressure on Capcom to greenlight a next-generation Bionic Commando. And Capcom was really looking at this like, well, if it succeeds, then maybe we'll do more. And if it doesn't, we won't. And, you know, with the poor sales numbers of Bionic Commando, I think Rad and his dreads is the last time we're going to see that.
I thought that was more on the topic of the 2D, like the NES like revitalization of those old classic titles, instead of like the bringing them into the 3D for the new titles.
Well, I still don't think there's any more chance of us seeing another Bionic Commando than there is of us seeing Yakuza over here.
Let's just say they probably lost more money on Bionic Commando than they made money on Rearmed.
Yeah. Oh, and I would like to, if we're talking about news, I would like to just highlight a little quote that I read today about Yakuza, because I'm still bitter about this. Sega has publicly acknowledged that they are aware of the anger of Yakuza fans in North America. Their quote was something like, yes, we are aware that the few passionate fans of Yakuza in North America might be angry about our choice not to localize Yakuza 3. But that was it. It was just basically just like we hear you. But
that's
you're
like,
still
not getting it. The only thing that would have made that better is if they would have said, we encourage those fans to learn Japanese and import the game, as it will play on their American-based PS3s.
Yeah. It's such a
Buy
Sega
our new
quote,
Sonic
though.
Game, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, we admit that Sonic's not very good anymore, but people still buy it, so it's okay.
Like,
they'll say it. 12-year-olds
are stupid, and they keep buying it, so we're not too worried about it.
Like, well, kids who are dumb still like it, okay, I guess, so whatever. okay.
At least they're honest, yeah.
Maybe.
It's on the same level of, like, Konami being like, oh, we hear people really want MGS4 trophies. And then it just stopped the sentence right there.
I heard a little something about that.
All right. Okay. I guess we can move on then. Either Woo. Or. Hmm. Okay. We're going to start we'll start with AJ first, then Beige, then Joe. and then it'll go Beige Joe Ash guy. I'll keep moderating it. Don't worry.
Okay.
We'll cycle.
Either or two. We got 10 questions to start with, and then we go to the lightning round.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, either or two. First up, AJ first. The Old Republic or Star Trek Online?
Old Republic.
Why?
I think what they're doing as far as, like, storytelling and experience is a lot, like, different from any other MMO, where, like, it's not just going to be a game of running around and, like, killing mobs for, like, 20 pelts. There's actually, like, a story and character interaction, and the fact, like, within your party, you all participate in, like, dialogue trees, which is friggin' phenomenal. And then if you read the Dev Diary update on the Smuggler class, and you just, like, see how much care they're putting into the character.
Oh, yeah.
It's phenomenal. For what we know about this game, we don't even know what the combat system is like. All we've been hearing about is just how they're crafting this really compelling Star Wars experience where basically every class is its own KOTOR game. So you're basically getting 10 new KOTORs when this game comes out. Sign me up.
It's the first MMO that I've even had the slightest interest in playing. When I read that Smuggler update and they said, look, we're making this update for the class who wants to play a wise-talking scoundrel with a heavy emphasis on the romance trees and, like, sneaky tricks. I'm like, fantastic. Yes. This is, sign me up. I want to be Han Solo.
Joe, what do you want to be?
I'll just consent with, you know, like, yeah, go with you guys. I haven't heard anything on the Star Trek end either, but yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Something tells me so far we've accrued 0 points.
You're all at negative 5,000 points right now.
Oh yeah, I like Star Trek movie, yeah. But
no, it's more than a movie.
I know that.
You lose. I know you know that. All right, you guys are off to a bad start. I guess you're tied though. Still,
we're tied at nothing.
Tied at negative 5,000. Get it right. All right. Beige, you're first this time.
Yep.
You're sitting at the top of the bottom.
Mario 64 or Mario Galaxy?
Mario Galaxy.
Why?
Because I didn't have a Nintendo 64, and that fad passed me by. I did rent it at the time, and I did sort of experience, much like everybody else did, that same, like, whoa sensation when Mario ran around in 3D for the first time. But, you know, I went back and played Mario 64 recently on Virtual Console. Still holds up. It's pretty good. But, honestly, Mario Galaxy kicks the crap out of it. You know, it wasn't as groundbreaking, but there are lots of games that were groundbreaking at the time that don't hold up on subsequent plays. You know, we just have to go back through the Squadron of Shame back catalog to see some of that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, you got to keep moving on. I vote current. Modern age. Plus, that spring suit is just hilarious. Come on.
Spring a lot of people Mario. Didn't like that spring suit, though.
Those people suck. Anybody who didn't like the spring suit. I mean, Mario coiled up as a spring, bouncing around and shrieking wildly. It's genius.
All right, good. Joe, your turn.
Mario 64.
Okay. Why?
Well, let me preface by saying I never played either Mario 64 or Mario Galaxy
in
much depth. So I'm basing this purely on what I know of it, which is all, like, very viral. Very viral, very, like, after-play stuff. And this is, what Mario Galaxy got. That I think it's Photoshop, confirmed Photoshop now, that you're Mr. Gay box art.
What?
Wait, what?
You know, like, the littlest, like, you know, on the box art of a... Like, before the game came out, like, they had the logo, Super Mario Galaxy, like, you know, the basic box art we have now, right? Mm. But then, like, for some reason, some people noticed that, you know, on the letters U-R, and then M-R, then G-A-Y, there was, like, a little star there, like, for some reason, highlighting it, apart from all the other letters. And if you put it in sequence, it says, you're Mr. Gay. And then someone, you know, made, like, an awesome Photoshop of, like, a hard gay Mario flying in space, yeah. But that was all right. But then, like, the most awesome, like, viral thing on Mario 64's end was not the stupid, like, Nintendo 64, like, video. It was a couple guys in Japan, like, made this, like, metagame of Mario 64, like, called something like, Avoid the Green Demon, where they trigger, like, one of the 1-ups, like, because there's different versions of 1-ups, and one of them, like, follows you, right? And they try to, and basically they trigger, like, the red coin mission to get the star by collecting 8 red coins or something like that in the stage, and then... Before they actually kick off that star, they trigger a one-up to start stalking them and following them, and then they go try and get all the red coins before the one-up catches them, and they get a one-up. And I just, you know, if you just put the videos on the Japanese version of YouTube, but then you can, they also have them on YouTube. You can, like, look them up there, and they're just hilarious to watch them, like, suddenly, like, talk about, like, oh, yeah, everything's okay now, right? And then it comes out of nowhere. Like, it just comes out from the texture of the mountain. And suddenly, like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. They're just, like, running the hell away from it. It's hilarious.
That's so awesome.
And at one point, there's, like, that snow level, right?
Yeah.
With the penguin in there, and it's like, and one of the guys is like, oh, if you talk to the penguin, like, the mushroom will disappear. It's like, really? Really? Sure, sure. And it just, like, it talks about it, and then they go, just the laughing their asses off, and the text box is going, it's like, it's gone right, it's gone right, it's gone right, and then it's right there behind him. It's like, it's not gone, damn it! And they get the one up. It's like, I'll never listen to you again.
People who create their own fun with video game mechanics are bizarre. These, like, speedrunners and dudes like that, that take a perfectly good game, and then just say, you know what? This isn't fun enough. We need to, the real fun comes from finishing Metroid in 30 minutes.
Like, remember how people try to bastardize all the multiplayer modes in Splinter Cell, Chaos Theory?
What do you mean?
Like everyone created, like, Tag.
Yeah.
You go into a server and people are like, oh, let's play Tag. And I'm like, let's play Splinter Cell.
Yeah, or people who played, there was a whole culture of people who played Thief in increasingly more stealthy ways, to the point where, like, they were... The only way that you could get any street cred on these boards was, like, closing every door behind you. You couldn't be noticed by a guard. You couldn't blackjack anybody. You couldn't, like, touch any items that weren't, or knock anything over. And there are videos of people doing this, like, just painstakingly inching their way through levels. It takes hours and hours just to have a, you know, zero guards noticed, zero knockouts, whatever. So, I mean, more power to you if you've got that kind of time, but...
Yeah.
That's like the extreme of, like, trying to get, like, zero alerts of MGS.
Yeah. You AJ. Can have your big boss thing.
Cutting you guys off. AJ, your turn.
I will say Mario Galaxy. To me, the difference between these two is almost like the difference between Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario World, where, like, you know, 64 established the core mechanic and showed the world, you know, this is how this works, and Galaxy just took it and turned it up to 11 and made it really good.
Okay, AJ, Beige get points for picking the right one.
Yes.
Beige gets a few extra ones, though, for defending the spring. Very bold move.
I like the spring.
Well, you didn't defend it first.
Well, I wasn't first.
Well, that's the way it goes. Okay, good job, Beige. All right, Joe, this one's for you. I don't know if you played these ones, but Left 4 Dead or Team Fortress 2?
Team Fortress 2.
Why?
Because, well, you're right. I never played any of them. But I have watched, like, my sister's boyfriend playing Team Fortress 2. He hasn't touched Left 4 Dead at all. And I really like the, like, you know, back to the whole viral thing. I didn't see. Has anyone really done anything like that for Left 4 Dead? Like, it's all been, like, very personal experiences, but nothing, like, on Valve's end of, like, promoting the game beyond saying, hey, it's out, and oh, there's a Game of the Year edition, and wait, there's Part 2 coming out later this year. Right. And Team Fortress 2, like, you know, after, like, what is it, like, 2 years now? And yeah. It's still, like, you know, reigning supreme and, like, characterization and all that stuff.
Right.
And very unique supported. Art style.
AJ.
TF2. The big thing about it, like, I love both of them.
But, you guys better not start picking the answers you think I want to hear, by the way.
No.
Okay.
Because here's my deal.
You have to be legit with this now. You can't play for points.
Right.
Even though they're incredibly important.
The good thing about Team Fortress 2 is it's very easy to jump in, play it for half an hour, jump out. Left 4 Dead, it's almost like setting up a raid in an MMO. You got to get people together. You got to set aside like a good 45 minutes to go through the campaign. And when you can do it, it's fun. It's just it's hard to do that sometimes. There was Team Fortress 2. You know, you just jump in with a friend or two, pick a server, play as long as you want, and, you know, have your fun. Also, best developed characters like any video game like in the last 4 years, except for like Uncharted.
All right, Beige.
Wait,
the gratuitous Uncharted mention does not get you any bonus points.
Oh, my God.
Just want to cover my bases.
No. All right, Beige.
TF2. Because it was finished. Or quasi-finished. You know, I like Left 4 Dead, but let's be frank here. It's 4 levels, and when you've played them once... like, either you've played them once, you will never play the same level, or you play exactly the same level. They don't really change. Now, I do like Left 4 Dead, but I don't think I've ever run to the internet and looked up a video excitedly because I heard there was a new installment in, you know, Meet Francis. But I have, I have gone, oh, Meet the Spy is out? Sweet! And, yeah, I think, you know, both of them have had a fairly significant effect on gaming culture, but the effect of TF2 is just so much greater. And it's pioneered a lot more with its art style. I do like the AI director, but Left 4 Dead, is you either like zombies or you don't, and that's it.
All right, good job, everyone. AJ, PSN or Xbox Live Arcade?
I will say Xbox Live Arcade. For the pure purpose that I mean, the argument people make is, you know, it's a quantity versus quality thing in most cases. I think there's just as many good games on Xbox Live Arcade as there are on PSN. People keep pointing to, like, Pixel Junk Eden and Pixel Junk Monsters and, I guess, Shatter is the new hotness right now. But, you know, for all of those, the XBLA has had Braid, it's had Castle Crashers, which, granted, are coming to the PS3 now, but late. I mean, with the Summer of Arcade promotion, I've had four consistent once-a-week games that I've liked very much. And, you know, I'm a fan of that.
Beige.
PSN.
Ooh. That's something. All right, let's hear it. I like this agreement.
All right.
Get into it, you two.
Okay. Here, I like them both. You know, I'm choosing between my two favorite children here. But I will usually take, if given the choice, I will usually take higher quality at a lower frequency than the inverse. Now, PSN does have a lot of crap. You know, I've never played Pain, and I don't intend to. But its exclusives are awesome, like the backwards flying shooter thing that they're coming up with, and Flower, and Echo Chrome. Like they've just, Sony's sinking a lot of effort into promoting indie, under-the-radar kind of stuff, and the 360 does have stuff like Explosion Man and Braid, but that stuff makes its way to the PlayStation eventually anyway. And the one thing that I really like about PSN, and in my opinion puts it over the top, is that every time I buy something from it, it's just a straight money transaction, and I get an email that says, you have spent $15 to buy this game, and that's it. There's no fooling around with Microsoft points. I don't have to get in the marketing loop or anything. It's just good quality, independent games. You know, and it's not as frequent as XBLA, but honestly, I think that pound for pound, PSN is just better.
See, points have never bothered me. It's for whatever reason. I don't know. In fact, I was kind of mad at the PSN because I bought a $20 PSN card to buy Fat Princess with, and they charged tax into the card. So really, the game was like 16 something instead of 15. Whereas that doesn't happen on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Joe, where do you go on this?
PSN.
Man.
Well, by default, because I don't have an Xbox 360.
Right.
And I don't have Xbox Live Arcade. Well, like, Beige touched on a number of points there. I don't really have any hang-ups, like, so far with points, you know, versus currency. Like, the only point system I'm wrestling with right now is DSiWare, but you don't actually tax anything there either. So, I think it's right there. Well, it's just, yeah, like, it's a really great, how am I going to say this? Well, there's some, Xbox Live Arcade, like, they haven't, like, they're doing the games on demand as their full-fledged, like, disc-based games for a download service, right?
Right, and that does use and, just regular dollars if you want. You can use
Yeah. Yeah, well, PSN, the PSN, like, the games that they offer there, they never really, felt bound by, like, you know, the arcade mentality. Like, oh, you just, like, play it for a couple minutes as well. Like, a perfect example, Wipeout HD. Like, you know, even the developers, Studio Liverpool, fully admitted they could put that on disc, but they wanted to, say something by putting, like, a full-fledged game like that on as a purely download. And, like, I'm loving the hell out of that game.
Yeah, I mean...
Games that you see, like games in Japan, like Siren Blood Curse, and then upcoming like that Agarista War, something like that, that very questionable like taste, like anime strategy RPG where you like breed your your characters out of the hell. And that's gonna hit. They're all hitting the network in America, you know.
Also, you can get games for multiple platforms on PSN. You can get both PSP. Cool. PSP and PS3 and legacy PS1 games on there. And Live Arcade isn't really doing that. Now, if you said, like, Xbox Live as a gestalt, as opposed to just the arcade part, I'd have to go with it because I could talk to people. But, you know, if we're going just by the games, the quality and the originality on PSN is better.
See, I also got to say, too, that real quick, I think the indie games on Xbox, the XNA stuff, is going to start getting good because I was just showing Mike today a trailer for a new game called Dust, which it looks like the first one where someone's actually tried. There's a lot of junk in the indie games channel that you could tell people threw together in a month.
But this they now have that rating system, which is long overdue. So this stuff will bubble to the top, hopefully.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, have you seen the trailer for Dust, Beige?
Not yet.
You need to go watch this. This looks like, you know, a top-notch, professionally made 2D animated side-scrolling beat-em-up kind of game. And
it looks like that game that's coming out for the Wii made by the people.
Muramasa Demon Blade.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks kind of like that. Look,
starring
afraid
of tiptoes.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we're going to start with Beige's time. Same kind of thing. Virtual console or WiiWare?
Virtual console.
Okay. Why do you hate new games?
I don't. When did you stop beating your wife? No. The reason why I bought two games on WiiWare, and I've bought about 10 or 12 virtual console games. So I like the WiiWare stuff, but honestly, there's a lot of shit in there. Like every year, every week, you guys read off the releases, and it's like Puyo Puyo Pirates for WiiWare, or you know, Spadunk Poker, and you're just like, what? No, no, give me Earthbound, please. And the number of
times... But we don't have Earthbound.
No, we don't. I know it's a bad example. But the number of times that I've wanted to show my friend something, like, oh, let's play Super Castlevania 4. You need to know what this is, right? We've just gone into the library and dug it out, and there you go. So, like, especially for squad stuff and legacy games, Virtual Console is just great. Like, it's necessary. On Earth, there needs to be a library where we can get at our stuff.
Interesting. I don't think there's ever really been a mission that has... required us to go
to the virtual console.
I pushed for Star Tropics once and it didn't happen.
I would vote for that if it came back again, but yeah.
All right. Someday maybe I'll bring it, I'll get, you know, into it again.
There is a good WiiWare game out there right now, or supposedly good, right? The Greek side scrolling thingamajig?
It came out this week, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know about this.
I don't know much about it either. The screenshot looked neat.
My favorite one is still Lost Wind, which came out in its very first week. Although, yeah. What's that one? Goo. World of Goo.
World of Goo,
good.
Yeah.
Also very good. Joe?
I don't know. Well, it's like purely circumstantial on my end. Why it's a hard decision for me to choose Virtual Console over WiiWare. Like, I don't know. I am choosing Virtual Console over WiiWare. I would like to go the other way around because, I actually I like having like legacy games like to the respective system. So if I wanted to pull out like, I don't know, Turtles in Time, like I would have it on my Super Nintendo or something like that. I wouldn't necessarily
I had to because
of the Turtles in Time tirade, which was awesome last week. But
I could do another one this week.
Awesome. I know it's gonna be great. But I'm not done yet. So
quiet well, you. This is my show. Yeah. Go ahead.
And basically,
sorry.
WiiWare. I would like to have the good WiiWare games on Wii. Like basically, relegate Wii as my 3D Nintendo console, and like have all the 2D stuff like from the Virtual Console side. It'd be hard to get a console. I mean, the cartridge, authentic cartridge.
Right. So basically, you like WiiWare more in theory.
Yes,
but it doesn't deliver. Okay, AJ.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
I'm gonna go Virtual Console by virtue of the fact that I actually have never bought a WiiWare game.
You never bought a WiiWare game?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think in my head. And the thing is...
You know what else I liked was... The other ones I liked were the Strong Bad games. But then, of course, you have a memory problem with those.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Is the Nintendo Store, just everything about it, is very poorly set up for discovering new things. There's no demos. And the lowest amount of points you can buy is $10, while very few things cost $10 in that store. So the only thing I really have bought are virtual console games that I know I like already. Like, I don't take any risk in that store just because, you don't really hear a lot about rave reviews for WiiWare games. I guess the Bit Trip games are supposed to be okay, but I heard they get really hard. So I don't want to buy these games that I'm going to pay $8 for and then not end up liking. You know, World of Goo, I played it on the PC. Tales of Monkey Island and Strong Bad, I'd rather play on the PC. So the WiiWare is just, it has yet to attract me with anything.
All right. Joe, have you played any adventure games?
No, so you just gave over me. I played the demo of The Dig, and that's it.
Well, you have to give me an answer at least. Sam and Max Hit the Road or Data Tentacle? Pick one.
Data Tentacle. Tim Schafer did it. Next.
All right, AJ.
I'll go with Sam and Max Hit the Road, only because I feel that's still one of the funniest games ever made. And, I mean, they're both really, really, really good. But just something about Sam and Max, it was one of those games where it was absolutely absurd, but it also worked, just because it played within its own rules very well.
Beige.
That's a difficult choice. I'll go with Sam and Max, because its humor was a little more crazy, a little more acid-filled, and I like that. But the presidents of in Day of the Tentacle make a very, very strong case for...
Yes.
You know, there needs to be more games featuring Thomas Jefferson. I don't care what he's doing.
You just won.
No. I had this crazy idea in my head. If I could do my dream game, it'd be some crazy-ass thing with, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, exploring some crazy afterlife together. It's all trans-dimensional.
No, you'd want Teddy Roosevelt along. If you had, the presidential dream team, if we did Barkley JRPG, but it was the Hall of Presidents, you know.
Well, there's an idea.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we got RPG Rainmaker Pro, and we, you know.
I think my game would be more like Cookies and Cream. Remember that platformer?
With Jefferson and Adams?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
This would be great.
You could do more like the Lost Vikings, where the three of them were trapped, and, Teddy had the fisticuffs, and I don't know.
The big stick.
Well, if I was going to do three of them, I'd get some revolutionary one. It's hard to pick right now. Yeah, I get Andy Jackson, because he's a badass, and then Teddy. Course. Okay. I would have a hard time picking myself. I like both of those a lot. Day of the Tentacle went for me for nostalgia. That was my first adventure game.
True.
Okay, so who are we starting with this time?
I think it's me.
Yep. You? Okay. Xbox 360 controller or the DualShock 3?
360 controller. The big thing for me is on the PS3 controller, the analog stick is still, in a secondary position for the left side, because it's, the legacy of the original design, where it was secondary on the PlayStation 1 when it was introduced. Also, the L2 and R2 triggers on the PS3, the way they're shaped, I hate.
Oh, really? I like those.
They're grooved in a way that a downward force causes your finger to slide off of them, whereas the 360 triggers catch your finger. It's more comfortable to keep those held down, like in a racing game.
Okay. What about six axis? Not a factor in this.
Unless it's Flower, I don't care about six axis at all. Okay. No game except for Flower has told me that I need this. Sony themselves, they're making a motion controller. You have a motion controller. They don't even acknowledge it anymore. Almost.
All right, Beige.
This is weird because my opinion of the controller shifted when the console generation ticked over. I loved my DualShock 2s. And I always said that was the best controller that ever existed. But I'm going to have to go with the 360 now. And I think, what has made the difference is the type of games that are being released these days. Because I loved playing games like Devil May Cry and Action Stuff or God Hand on the PS2 controller. I loved the layout. It was fun for flat button mashing. But everything these days has a trigger. 90% of the games that you buy, you have a trigger. And the Xbox 360 is heavy. It feels like you have a gun. It's got a good weight. It's got a good kick. And when you pull that trigger, it feels like, you're squeezing the trigger of a shotgun. And it just works for shooters. They made a controller that was just for shooters. And anything that's not a shooter, I prefer the DualShock. But there's getting to be less and less of those games out there, unless you play JRPGs and Persona and stuff, in which case it doesn't really matter. But I'm going to Xbox 360.
All right, Joe.
What else do you guys think? Well, DualShock 3 for me once again. Well, my sister's boyfriend, like, you know, and my elder sister, like, they live in the basement. They have, like, all three systems. Like, I try to handle the 360 controller. Never actually, you know, applied it to use, like, to actually try and play with it. But, like, it feels very, like, ever since, after Super Nintendo, you know, like, because I was raised with Nintendo, Super Nintendo, like, that, like, very, sort of symmetrical in a weird way, like, a button layout. And then in N64, they got all weird with the controller layout. I was like, what the hell is this? And then, like, you know, PlayStation was, like, the PlayStation controller right then was, like, the most, like, natural, like, progression from there. And then, like, you know, from the DualShock, and then, like, we got the DualShock 2, and then, like, you know, the Imperial DualShock 3, they were like, oh, yeah, yeah, it was the same layout. And, you know, and it was, I always thought it was, like, the most natural to me. That's just my personal preference.
Can I make an exception for fighting games? Because games on the 360 suck.
See, I'm getting used to analog sticks.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me either.
Now. Like, at first I had a hard time making that leap, but now I'm there. Now I can do everything with that, and it's not a big problem. But, I would have agreed with you before. If you want to use a D-pad, yeah, you need to use your controller.
See, people say that, but, like, try doing a Hadouken on the D-pad and the PS3. To me, it doesn't feel great.
Try finishing Mega Man 9 on Xbox 360.
I did.
Really?
So there.
And
it wasn't as easy. The best.
Yeah, I beat Wily on my first track.
The best system for Mega Man 9 was the Wii, actually. If you had the controller.
Hands down.
Right. But no, the best D-pad for fighting games was on the Dreamcast, I have to say. Okay, I don't even know how many people are going to be able to do this one. Game Gear or Neo Geo Pocket Color? We start with beige.
Oh, Neo Geo. I have no frame of reference. Just that if Magician Lord was on there, that would be sweet.
All right,
but I never played. I didn't have either. So sorry.
Joe. Let's go, Joe. Let's go.
Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Why?
Well, my frame of reference is seeing Neo Geo Pocket Colors in Chinatown. What was the other option?
Game Gear.
No Game Gears anywhere. And Retronauts, they're always talking about Neo Geos. Never Game Gears. So there you go.
AJ.
I did have both, and I'll say Neo Geo Pocket Color.
You can tell me why and really pull ahead here.
Huh?
You can be legitimate with your answer and really pull ahead.
I mean, the Game Gear was cool at its time just because, it was like the first color portable. But looking back, that thing is massive and 8 AAA batteries like they were...
I can't really remember very many memorable Game Gear games that weren't like the
Sonic
2D,
games.
Yeah, that weren't good Sonic ones. Yeah.
That was kind of it. And really, the games that I played on Neo Geo Pocket Color was a Sonic game. They did Sonic Pocket Advance or whatever it's called,
which is a lot like Sonic 2, I think.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Then there was Capcom versus SNK, which is hands down the best portable fighting game ever made. And there was the Card Fighters Clash, which was fantastic. And it had like that kind of little D-pad nub thing that worked really well. It's part of why the fighting
game
was so well.
That's what I was looking for. You mentioned the really good semi-analog.
It wasn't analog. It was still a D-pad,
but
it was
very
like
clicky. You knew.
Yeah.
You knew
where you were.
You absolutely knew when you were hitting those diagonals. It was perfect.
And the battery life of the system was good. The graphics on it were good. It was a really good system that just sadly got overlooked just because there's no way it was going to compete with the Game Boy.
I need to just find a. I don't think mine works anymore. I just need to go and
still have mine somewhere.
Just Neo Geo Pocket Color. That thing was great.
It was a great. It was a very good system. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Who am I starting with now?
It's Joe. Joey.
Joe. Yeah. Spore or Little Big Planet?
Little Big Planet.
Why?
Because, once again, circumstantial, I only have Little Big Planet, not Spore. And they both, try to... Well, I don't know about, under-delivering on their promise. Well, obviously, not as many people are making... I don't know how many people they're expecting to make, really quality, the
people
awesome
levels of People seem to complain less about Little Big Planet than they do about Spore.
Well, I lost my train of thought. But yeah, Little Big Planet wins.
That's probably my fault for interrupting you. My bad. Adj guy.
I'll go with Little Big Planet. I mean, well, here's the thing. I think Spore is better on the creation side, where Little Big Planet is a better game. And ultimately, that's what matters. I'd rather play my game. Spore, you can make some cool creatures and see them run around, and but that kind of gets old after a while. And then, the gameplay in Spore, there's not really that much. I don't know what this new expansion pack adds to it, if anything.
But I'd rather let the people who know what they're doing, Little Big Planet, make good levels, and I'll play them.
Beige.
I agree. Little Big Planet. Now, this is interesting, because I own both of those games, and I haven't finished either one, which is very rare. Yeah. That you know, of my game collection, there's probably only five or six I haven't finished, and that would be one of them. So I'm trying to think why. I think...
Well, Spore's space part gets a little...
Kind yeah, of, it's never ends. It just keeps going.
Here's the thing. Little Big Planet was never sold as anything more than a cute, cool, customizable thing that you could do a lot with. Will Wright promised the moon with Spore, and so there's a big letdown there. And I think just what has been done with Little Big Planet is more impressive. Like, on one hand, you have Spore, which, okay. On the other hand, you have, like, people recreating Silent Hill and Gradius and stuff like that.
In Little Contra. Big Planet.
Contra, yeah, and plus the art style. You know, I love Sackboy. I love the cutout. I love the handmade. Yeah, we're making stuff in the arts and crafts room aesthetic of it. And, you know, Spore is whimsical, but it's just not as cool.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Dakota, before we move on, we should, like, get, like, a squadron, like, a squad squad play, like, Night for Living Planet, then.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, that'd be
that
good.
That would be fun.
And, because, what do you call it, Angry Jedi has, you know, he recently got a PS3. I don't know how recent, but he also has Little Big Planet, yeah.
I did play Little Big Planet with, I think, maybe four people once, definitely three people, and it is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, really, the single-player mode in Little Big Planet is a lot of fun. I don't know why, really, I haven't beaten it. Okay, this is the last real one. We go to AJ. Worgen or gnomes?
You mean goblins?
Goblins, yeah, whatever.
Okay.
What the hell?
I'll still say worgen. I mean, at least they're like kind of badass wolfmen. The goblins, they've been there. We all knew they were going to be playable eventually. And I don't know, I don't think they look that interesting.
Beige.
I'm going with goblins. There's too much yiffing going on with worgen. I'm sorry, but you know, if I have to pretend to play an anthropomorphic green, you know, silly race and whatever, I'm just going full hog. I'm going to be a female ugly ass goblin. I'm going to put on some ugly ass clothes and walk around like I was Queen Latifah and love it. Okay, you know, I'd rather do that than you know, and just freaking accept it. Then pretend that I'm some sort of reject from DeviantArt walking around in my cravat. You know.
Oh, man.
That's my take on it. If you're going to go ugly.
Close the gap a bit.
Yeah.
Damn it.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, goblins as well.
Okay.
Well, but, you know, what'd you call it? Yeah, BH has a wonderful point there. You know, screw yiffers, like, yiff and elf are fags. And, you know, well, werewolves, they are tangentially related to vampires, and vampires suck as well. So, by default, werewolves also suck, so.
Exactly.
There you go. Yes.
You know, everyone, I always hear about worgen are, you know, basically werewolves. Do they, like, turn into humans sometimes? Or are they always wolves?
The worgen?
Yeah.
You pay to be a wolf. You can be a wolf all the time.
They're not very good werewolves, then. Anyways.
They're not werewolves. They're worgen.
Yeah, I say that they're like...
They're just wolf people.
Yeah.
See, I hope, like... See, I don't want to start seeing, like... See, it was cool when there's, like... you know, there was the, walrus person. That's cool, because I don't see... You don't really see that very often.
Right.
The wolf person, you know... What the hell? We've seen that. But, you know, what's
I don't understand
next?
How they were in the Alliance.
Right. Are we going to get the tiger person next? Like, who cares? Okay, lightning
round
time.
Man,
how's the lightning round working?
You guys
just shout your answers out.
Shout your answer. Speed counts in the lightning round.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
Mm.
I'm going to go by him as soon as you guys all answer. I'll go to the next one. Five questions. Lightning round. One, two, three, go. Kirk or Picard?
Picard.
Kirk.
Spock or Data?
Spock. Data.
Enterprise or Enterprise D?
Enterprise D.
Enterprise.
Wiimote or Wii Remote?
Wiimote.
Wiimote.
Haze or Prey?
Prey.
Prey, yeah.
Prey.
Okay, AJ pulls ahead.
Woo!
AJ knows my love for Next Generation, which probably helps.
Oh, I like it too.
Yeah, it's true. All right, Edge Guy. So here's the standings. Joey is in last place with 2 points.
Oh.
Beige in second with 3. points, and AJ takes the lead with 6 points.
All right.
First to last. Yay.
All right. Good job, everybody.
2 points.
Whee!
Woo!
Everyone have fun.
See, I'm good at either or. This is here comes my failure.
Random American Agile Gaming Quiz. Well, you know, we're going to have fun with the next few Agile Gaming Quizzes.
What's that?
All the questions are about the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this our build up to 100?
We're building up to one, not only 100, but our 2-year anniversary is on August 24th.
Yes.
Aww. Right on.
Congrats. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It'll be fun time. We're going to plan something
big. We're going to do up episode 100 in classy.
Yeah. But until then, I got some trivia. A lot of it about the early days of the Exploding Barrel podcast, so you might not get much help, Edge Guy.
Oh, man.
All right, first question.
End, sorry.
What was the name of the first episode of the Exploding Barrel podcast?
Oh, Jesus.
You named it.
Wait, I know this. The barrel explodes.
That's it.
Yeah, okay, sweet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question two. On that first episode, we discussed a Legend of Zelda ripoff game that was being released on Virtual Console. This is the first time we laughed at anything we did on the Exploding Barrel.
You're going to ask me this. I can't remember what the hell. Do you guys remember TurboGrafx games at all?
TurboGrafx?
It was a TurboGrafx-16 game.
Deadly Towers.
What?
Wait, Deadly Towers?
It was like a straight-up rip-off of Zelda.
Yeah, Shane talks about like a shitty version of Zelda, like Deadly Tower, right? Something
what
like
he
that?
Said.
It's Neotopia.
Oh.
Neotopia.
Oh, that's not... Wait, never mind.
T-O-P-I-A. All right. You got one, though. Well, you're doing okay. Next question. Which Final Fantasy was I playing through during that first episode? Because back in the early days, we had the
You started it as I was moving out, so it had to be like 2.
Correct answer is 4.
You were that far ahead already?
That far already.
You played through the first 3 in a month?
They're not that long.
Jeez.
Yeah, those early ones aren't very long. Especially 4 itself was the shortest. It took like 12 hours to beat.
Wow.
For whatever reason.
Only 12 hours.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Question 4. During our first couple of episodes, I was playing the multiplayer beta of some high-profile game. What game was it?
Call of Duty 4.
Yep. Actually got into the press beta somehow. All right. Question 5. I forgot that I was even in that until I read this. Question 5. Also, during those first couple episodes, there was a gaming-themed movie that you saw that you talked about a bit. What was it?
King of Kong.
All right.
That's a great movie,
Pasadena.
By the way.
It's
fine.
Did you see that Steve retook the title?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the YouTube video of Steve saying I'm his favorite video game?
What?
Yeah, our friend works as a videographer at like various events sometimes, and he was hanging out with like Steve Wiebe and Billy
Mitchell,
and he wanted to get a clip of Wiebe saying, like, Mike Minotti is my favorite gamer. But he got confused or something, and he says, Mike Minotti is my favorite video game. And there's the link.
That's amazing. That should be on your blog.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You totally should put that on your blog.
Now that people are looking at it.
Well, I'm thinking about, I forgot about this. Well, I'm thinking... Right. I'm going to have a quotes page where it's like what people are saying about Michael. And, you know, there's the one guy said I was like a excellent source of auditory analysis or something. Then just I had Damien say that I am a revolutionary in the top X list. I'm going to have all these great things. But
anyway, what was cool is I saw that movie in like a small kind of independent theater in Pasadena with like a very similar minded group of people who were like, cheering audibly every time something good happened to Wiebe. It was a really cool way to see that movie.
I didn't know I got the score back. That's cool. Maybe you should put this in the intro.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good movie, though, because you can also show it to your friends, and they can get it.
Yeah it was a universal story.
It's very accessible, yeah.
All right, this is the bonus question. Okay.
I think you got three.
Bonus question. Our first episode was posted on August 24th.
Mm-hmm.
On what day did iTunes verify our show?
Holy shit. August 28th.
August 27th.
Damn it, I was going to say that.
That was good. All right, so we're going to have fun with these experiments.
That was a good idea. I like that. Yeah. It makes me feel like now we have a sense of history. If even I can't remember it.
Right. Well, we got, it's good we have all these old posts. Sad thing is you can't go on there and watch a lot of those old episodes because we have limited space. But they're, you know, I have it on my computer, the first episode. I tried listening to it before. It's a lot more produced than our current episodes. We added a lot of echo.
Yeah, we were trying too hard at first.
You know, we didn't know what we were doing. It was a long time ago. Okay, that was good times. All right. Now we're going to do Out of Week in Gaming.
All right.
And as is my prerogative, I will go first.
Go ahead.
Well, so Trials HD came out, and this was the Xbox Live arcade game that I really knew nothing about at all. And it wasn't until I saw the video review on Game Trailers that I was like, well, this actually looks really cool. And I had some money left over on my account, so I went ahead and bought it. And it is a really fun game. It really is like a motorcycle platforming.
It's surprisingly good,
puzzle
yeah.
game.
I'm surprised how much we both enjoy it.
Yeah, and it does a cool thing where you can always see like how close you are to beating your next closest friend's time.
It's a Geometry Wars 2
yeah,
style thing.
Yeah, it kind of has that thing. It actually looks pretty good for what it is. It's got this kind of bizarre sense of humor where, like, not only any time do you fall do you blow up, but any time you beat a level you blow up. But what I like about it is that it's hard. It is hard. But there are very generous checkpoints all over the place. And to restart something, you just have to push the B button, and there's
boom,
no
right
delay.
Back. It's instant.
Right. So it,
my only real criticism of the game is a lot of the obstacles are just these very hard vertical climbs that are neither very fun nor interesting. They're just frustrating.
I think they're kind of fun. They're the hardest part of the game.
But it's not like when you pull them off, I'm like, oh, that was so sweet looking. You're just like, oh, thank fucking God. Whereas, like, you're doing some things, you go, like, off half a loop, launch yourself through the air, flip yourself around, bounce off a wall, kick off it, land on a platform that launches you up a ramp. That's sweet as hell. Just going up a wall. It's like, eh.
But, you know, interesting, the game has... It has a creative level mode, so I imagine people will be making some cool levels.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah,
but I will.
Exactly. But you know, it'll be a good time. I've been enjoying it a lot. It's kind of been this is like the surprise hit for me so far. What else did I play? Maybe I should have thought about that before I decided to go first. It's worth noting that my pitcher in MLB 09 The Show is the leading candidate for the Cy Young Award, and is helping the Indians on their way in the playoffs to win a World
cool.
Series.
Congratulations!
Thank you. I've been working hard on that. Steve Austin. Hey, do you have something you want to talk? Oh, you know, we got Civ Rev on the iPhone.
Yep. It's awesome.
It works pretty well, really.
Yeah, they had a 48-hour launch sale where it was $5. I think now it's 10. But, this is the exact same game as the DS version, which is 30, except there's no multiplayer, but I think they're going to add it. But it's great. I think it actually is graphically better than the DS version. It's a little brighter. And, I mean, it's Civ Rev. It's the game. If you like it on any other platform, you're going to like this version. It's just as good. It's really awesome.
Oh, I almost forgot. Me and Beige, one day, we played Fat Princess together.
Yep, last Friday,
yeah,
I think. And I was going to plug it for tomorrow because it's Friday and theoretically squad night. So if we can get at least the same group of people that we had on before, which is 6, we should be able to have an excellent game.
Right.
I know that. I don't know whether it's the patch that's fixed it or what, but you know, team swapping and that's all in place. It seemed to work fairly well, as long as the only caveat was that Mike and I were talking on Xbox Live while we were playing, and I noticed a significant advantage to the fact that we were in voice communication
right.
with one another.
Once we got the hang of it, for a while we were losing pretty bad.
Yeah.
But we got the hang. You know what? It's cool because, like, what I like to do when I play the game, I love working, playing as that worker class. I love going out there, like, there's, like, this sort of, like, you have to gather resources and you're very vulnerable.
Yeah, harvesting is cool.
It is cool. And it's, like, building things is cool. And, I love seeing the Capture the Flag concept taken to platformer, finally. Because it makes a lot of sense. And, it looks great. I've heard some people complain about, like, the sense of humor of the game a bit, like, oh, the wizard guy's just saying internet memes. Those are hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
We're getting
our base, killing our dudes.
That's
no, awesome.
It's great.
If you complain about that, you're taking yourself
yeah,
way too seriously.
Exactly. And I mean, there's so many little things to it. Like, you can't focus too much not only on gathering resources, you can't focus too much on attacking or even just defending your base in general. You have to worry about, you know, you have to feed the cake to the princess. There's a lot of layers to it.
The biggest problem with the game right now seems to be that there's a lot of stalemates.
You know what? I think we had every game me and Beige played, there was a win.
We didn't. Time out or anything. Particularly enjoy the fact that those who, when you win, you get to become the Grim Reaper for a little while, and if you're the team captain and run around chopping people's heads off, and if you lose, you're a giant chicken. And I got to see Mike be a giant chicken and just run for about a minute.
It was a lot of fun sort of thing to play together, though. And afterwards, I literally begged Beige to play Blaze Blue with me.
Yep.
He didn't really want to because, you know, he hadn't really messed around with it much and he didn't really know any of the characters that well.
I'm pleased that I did. Bang Shinigami or whatever his name is.
I knew you would love Bang Shishigami.
Shishigami, yeah. I got it the DVD the next day and started brushing up on Bang. So he or that Akarune Princess Mononoke looking thing are probably going to be my
final Spirited Away kind of thing.
Yeah.
AJ, Bang, he's the one with that crazy anime song special.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I should play that tonight.
I'm pissed that that song's not on the soundtrack, though.
Yeah, bummer.
Unless I can't find it, if it's on there. I don't know. But I love that playing game. I heard, the Homeworld podcast is not up yet. But Rob was telling me he kind of was hating on Blaze Blue a little bit.
He was. It's not his cup of tea.
I guess, you know, and I asked him, like, well, what kind of playing games do you like? And he said he likes, you know, Virtual Fighter or Street Fighter. Yeah. And I can completely understand that.
I love the really, really hard asymmetry of Blaze Blue. The fact that the characters are not anything alike. You know, you've got... It's not like Ken versus Ryu. It's like one guy has a crazy Simacula or, a doll that is following them around. And the other guy is, a ninja with his own anime theme song who throws nails in the air. There's just no comparison.
When you have characters that unique, you know, you can have 10 characters in your game. You don't need 30-something of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like Mortal Kombat needs 50 characters because most of them are just palette swaps.
I'm trying to remember the review that I read of Blaze Blue that said, look, in a year from now, the depths of this game will still be being discovered by people who are hardcore into it. And, you know, I was just watching these the tutorials and stuff that they have, the guys from Shoryuken or whatever were demoing, and, you know, you're just looking at it being like, man, the combinations and permutations of these 10 characters, it's absurd. Like, I wouldn't want to be the guy responsible for balancing that and making sure that each of them has a reasonably good shake at being a good character. Like, that job is just... I don't even know where you'd start, but they did such an excellent job at it that, you know, I can't recommend Blaze Blue enough.
It's probably worth mentioning, too, we no lag problems when we played it.
Nope.
That game's netcode. I have not seen one better. Like, Street Fighter games, Marvel's Comic 2, very good netcodes. Blaze Blues is unbelievable.
Seems at a disadvantage to its matchmaking.
The matchmaking itself, too. Oh, I could go on. I've talked about that, though. All right. AJ, is there something else you want to bring up, then?
Let's see. Talk about trials and... So today, so by the time you're listening to this, I guess the deal's over, but they released... There's this iPhone game called Mevo and the Groove Riders that was free for the day, which it's like a rhythm platforming game where your guys just kind of automatically running through this level and you're hitting either left or right on the beats. Kind of neat. I mean, it was free. I don't know what it actually does cost, but it's worth checking out, I guess. I gave Wipeout HD another shot this week.
Are those commercials gone yet?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of pissed because I held off on buying it because I heard about those ads that pissed me off. And now I guess it was $15 and now it's back to $20. And so I was playing it trying to decide if this is something I actually wanted to buy and play.
George would be happy.
Yeah, and I almost bought it and I'm kind of holding off still because I got a lot of stuff I'm playing right now.
Yeah, Shadow Complex next week.
Yeah, that too. I think I'll get it eventually. And the thing is, I think when I get it, I want to get the Fury expansion pack because it sounds like it adds a lot to it. So eventually I'll get to it. But it is cool. My thing was I always had a hard time playing Wipeout. I just never acclimated myself. Like I tried to play like it was F-Zero. I finally stopped doing that. And once you finally kind of like learn the track layouts and everything is, you can get good at it. Also, it has a really awesome photo mode at the end of a race where it'll freeze frame like the instant replay, or not the replay, but like the guys just kind of on autopilot through the track. You can do all these cool things like set really neat depth of field effects or turn on, like, track motion blur or motion blur in the vehicles and take some really cool-looking pictures. And the demo, you can earn trophies in the demo, which I thought was weird. Sure. So, yeah, I got some trophies.
I also want to bring up, real quick, Gorilla's songs came to Rock Band, and that was pretty cool. Especially Feel Good Incorporated, Clint Eastwood. I had a lot of fun with those. Okay.
Let's see. I tried the demo for Blueberry Garden, which was the winner of the Independent Game Festival this year. It's okay. I don't know. Maybe the demo doesn't do a good job of giving the gist of what the game is, but it just didn't make sense. I guess, like, you're flying around this world and you're trying to collect these big objects. But, like, you know, you can eat these blueberries and you start turning blue. I don't know what it does. And you can carry rocks around, but I don't know why. And it's just, you know, the game isn't very well explained. Maybe if someone explained it to me, I'd get it better.
What's it out on?
It's on Steam.
Okay.
I feel like there's one other thing I played that I wanted to talk about, but I can't think of what it is. So I'll turn it over to Beige.
My week of what I've been playing is pretty minimal. I don't have much new to say. Like, I've been playing a lot of Little King's Story. It's good. I continue to enjoy it. I Twittered today. Yesterday we ran into a boss called Shishka Babu. I can only recommend that you YouTube Shishka Babu and see what it is that I'm talking about, because you know, it was a cutscene that my wife and I just kind of stared at each other and were like, Japan! Yes! This is what I'm talking about.
Japan! There it is!
There it is!
Yeah,
cool, so,
everything.
Yeah, it's some sort of cross between Louis the 16th and whoever that girl was who turned into a giant blueberry in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Viola Beauregard.
Yeah, Viola Beauregard.
Verka Salt.
That's funny, because I was thinking about her just a little bit ago.
Verka Salt.
Talking about the blueberry game.
Yeah, anyway, exactly what I was thinking.
I recommend everybody YouTube Shishka Babu and see the boss fight that turns into a pinball game in the middle of your little... Yeah, it's fantastic. So, you know, Little King's Story continues to deliver the goods.
I listened to them talking about that game on the last Listen Up podcast.
Yeah.
It sounds, because it doesn't use the Wiimote to point, right? You're still just playing it like it's just a regular controller, right?
You're using the nunchuck to move around, and you're not actually pointing at stuff. It's just
I just feel like the whole time I'm playing it, I'd just be angry that, like, why isn't this using the pointer to control the pointer on screen?
There is no pointer on screen.
Wasn't it like a Pikmin kind of thing where you kind of like, where you're looking, there's like a thing where you throw your guys or whatever?
There is, but you don't use the pointer to control it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like you should.
You should. It's pretty frustrating sometimes.
Bother me.
See, there's these chickens. See, I'm just going to get into the rant, right? There's these tough mini boss chickens all over the place. And if you beat the giant poisonous mushroom who hacks like he's got smoker's lung, you can upgrade your unit so that you have a gourmet chef in your crew. And a gourmet chef can run up and kill a chicken with one hit. It just fries him up, turns him into KFC. And so you have an instant boss kill if this unit is in your group. But pointing him at the chicken when there is 1,000 animate turnips trying to beat the shit out of your guys is quite difficult. And if you could just selectively point and say, that chicken, that chef, kill, it would be a different game. So, I don't know. The frustration of it is part of the gestalt. You guys really need to see... I wonder if there's an art gallery online that unlocks... as you're wandering around in this game, you can pick up art and sell it to an art dealer. But the art is like 100... little kids' crayon drawings that they obviously went to like a school somewhere and just told a bunch of kids, hey, make drawings of monsters. And some of them are good, some of them are bad. You know, some kids really have artistic talent, some of them are just like ugly crayon, like you pin them on your fridge kind of drawings, but they all have like, by Bobby Johnson, age 8, kind of thing. And it's fantastic. I never get bored of picking up these kids' artwork. And it's just hard to explain. Like, it's a weird mix of cute and super hardcore. The strategy and the gameplay part of it is quite difficult and quite good. But the aesthetic is very... I mean, just go watch Shish Kabobo. That's everything you need to know. Okay. I'm done talking about Little King. Aside from that, just been playing some Explosion Man and more Rito Kuzunoha. So, I haven't bought anything. It's a dry month. I'm thinking that if I can get a good deal on it this week, I'll probably wander down and try and get the sequel to Call of Juarez. So I might have something else to talk about there.
A demo for it just came out. I'm going
to
try that.
I have to break you a bit for not playing Tales of Monkey Island yet.
I know. I was playing Half-Life Episode 1.
That's
like
true.
I said, I wanted to make that the first game on my new PC. So it runs like butter. Oh, and I've been playing some Left 4 Dead as well on there, which is lots of fun, but Left 4 Dead is kind of talked to death. So
I still got to get you on TF2.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
Joey. Joe. Do it.
Let's go, Joe.
Yeah, basically. I've got a few games before I talk about what I played this week, because I wanted to be on last week's show, but that didn't work out.
Yeah, last week's show, me and AJ were like, well, there's something. It was just like, yeah, we were just both very busy. Like,
into my new apartment.
We can only do the show right now, and it has to be, like, only 40 minutes long.
Yeah,
so
that's fine, though. Yeah, basically. Yeah, last time I talked about Persona 4, I was still playing it. I beat it, and, I'm not going to spoil anything till Kodo. But only thing I'll say is that I wish I had not beat the final boss.
Really?
That's about it.
Hmm.
And I'll agree with Rock God when he said on the dig that the anime cutscenes like are extremely jarring compared to the rest of the game. And yeah. And I guess we'll talk about it more in depth in some other time, some more appropriate time for Persona 4. I also beat I also played within the span of a week or two, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, so did I. Like I did the same thing a week. I was like, I want to play Assassin's Creed 2, so I better play through Assassin's Creed 1.
Yeah, same reason to eventually play Part 2. And, much more forgiving of it than I would have been if I had beaten it last year.
Yeah, I think
after seeing what Part 2 is going to be, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, you know, Assassin's Creed 1, it's kind of been it's been looked at quite a bit, and people kind of say, here's a game that has its faults, but obviously it did a lot of things really well, had very interesting tech, I guess.
It was really given a raw deal at the time.
Don't shed any tears for Assassin's Creed. It's still the...
It's
the best-selling new property that isn't a Wii game.
Yeah, they made a lot of money on it, and I think a lot of the criticisms against the combat and stuff are valid, but all in all, it's still pretty solid.
It is.
You know what I never realized until you were playing it is Nathan Drake is Desmond in that game.
Yeah,
dude is freaking everywhere.
Nolan North, isn't he in? He's in something recently as well.
He's in Shadow Complex.
Shadow Complex. Yeah.
Yeah. He's I found that out too. I'm like, oh man.
I almost don't like that because for me, he's
Nathan Drake.
Yeah, he's Nathan Drake. And when I hear him other things, I'm like, okay, come on. It's like these people are like, they're like, how can we have good voice acting in our game? Also, I know we'll just steal Uncharted's voice acting.
Yeah, he's almost like a win button.
Yeah, every now and then, Cam Clark / Liquid Snake will show up in, like, a JRPG, and always think, like, what the fuck is Liquid Snake doing in my Tales of Vesperia?
Perfect.
Get out of here.
He's in, like, every Tales game.
Perfect anecdote. I remember a long time ago, I was a kid, I was watching Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, and the freaking gardener is voiced by Cam Clark. I was like, dude, Liquid Snake!
Leonardo in the Turtles is Cam Clark.
Cam Clark's amazing.
Yeah,
I love when he shows up with a bit part. Because you always know it's him. I remember he was like a news reporter in Doom 3. He was just like on the TV. You saw him like do the news for like 10 seconds. It's like, it's Cam Clark. I'm like,
he was a bunch of NPCs in the original KOTOR as well. You can always tell.
And he was Andre Almeida in Killer 7. One of his best roles, I think.
Just a great voice. Everyone loves Cam Clark.
I love Cam Clark.
Come on. He's great. All right. Anything else?
Done. That was just that was the games I didn't play this week. This week, I had played, Nobi Nobi Boy.
Oh, what, is that,
right?
I haven't heard much, really, yet on Nobi Nobi Boy.
I don't know about it, except that
I've played it, yeah, it is what it is.
Yes, right, that's exactly what you said, it is what it is.
It is a compelling piece of software, and I only had recently remembered that it had co-op, so I was playing that, because I'm helping my aunt watch her kid, so, you know, I'm playing this with my cousin, and we're just like... You know, I found out that you could actually eat the other Nobi Nobi Boy and stuff, and, you know, when you poop them out, it looks so wrong. It looks like they're just shooting out like a living, like, tapeworm or something. I'm like, oh, God! And I can sit next to a kid playing this. I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, it's awesome. And, you know, we were both, like, you know, eating and, like, trying to get bigger. Like, you know, I had seen the screenshot before, like, Nobi Nobi Boys, like, the towering over the houses and stuff. I was like, oh, God, I have to get to that size at least. It was awesome. And, you know, we both, like, you know, we met, you know, we sent our link to girl, you know, she got longer, all that stuff. And besides that, you know, I mentioned about Wipeout HD, and, yeah, I've been playing Wipeout HD, playing the single-player campaign. And, I, you know, I'm up to the seventh of the eight sections. And I'm to the point where, like, you know, I really start to notice that I really hate the AI because the AI loves to target you. You know, and it's like, oh, I'm safe, got this power up. Oh, you're right in front of me? I'll shoot missiles at you. I was like, why'd you shoot missiles at the three other AIs? It's like, god damn it. Yeah, I haven't gotten the Fury expansion yet, but I seriously, like, once I, you know, come to some money, I'll be like, okay, I'm getting the Fury expansion. And, like, I've just seen the screenshots, and, yeah, like, the NeoGAF thread for it is, like, Wipeout HD Fury thread of just explosion in your pants. It's very apt description, I think. All right, oh, also, another thing is, you know, it supports custom soundtrack. Like, you don't, can't tell from the XMB, you have to do it from the menu, which is here or there. But, like, I was, you know, it's really awesome when you're playing Wipeout HD, and then you're hearing, like, songs from Persona 4 or Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne.
I wish I had some Star Wars playing while I was playing.
I always like games that have the in-game soundtrack, like, more in the game than just kind of as part of, like, the system infrastructure. Like, it's easier to get to. I don't know. Like, that would be on the show. No, really well.
This doesn't do that. You have to, like, make the playlist in the XMB, and then you just select the menu.
See, I like. I feel like you should be able to make that playlist in the game. Yeah. I'm judging something I've never even seen or tried, but there you go. That's what I do. Anything else, Joe?
Besides those four, that's about it. Yeah.
All right, then. Let's get to these releases real quick.
Okay. On WiiWare, Nyx Quest Kindred Spirits. And then Rock and Roll Climber.
Oh, that was at their E3 conference.
Which one?
Rock and Roll Climber, wasn't it?
Oh.
Yeah, remember it was the rock climbing game.
Yeah.
You don't remember? Well, this is
it. Not. Virtual Console, Super Star Wars.
That's pretty cool.
They're bringing the all three of them eventually.
Right. I wanted to bring the Indiana Jones game that was pretty much just like it also.
Yeah.
They said that there's going to be an announcement on that Monday that there's going to be something. Is this...
This is it, yeah.
Yeah, but that mean, would you... Is this good enough for you?
Yeah,
were your expectations too high? Yeah, it's pretty good.
Let's see. DSiWare, they brought Brain Age Express, Arts and
Legends. I'm sick of all these little Brain Age games.
I know, just buy Brain Age. It's like $15. Xbox Live Arcade, got Trials HD.
Recommend.
PSN, and Marvel's Capcom 2, and three PS1 games, Dead in the Water, 10-Pin Alley, and the original Tomb Raider.
What's 10-Pin Alley?
I assume it's a bowling game.
But why is it named after the music place?
I think it's probably named after the 10 pins
in the bowling alley.
You know, but you ever heard 10-Pin Alley?
Yeah, sure. The old Yellow Eyes is back. It's good stuff.
GoodOldGames.com, which, by the way, if you go to SquadronShame.com and click on the Good Old Games affiliate link, you can get us a few cents for hosting. They have VR Soccer 96, which is apparently the first 3D soccer game ever, so I'm sure it's good. And Lord of the Realm 3. Hey, I got Mike to laugh. That doesn't happen too often.
Yes.
Everything about it, the name VR Soccer, the year, 1996.
Of course.
What good sports game came out in 1996? Isn't that the year, like, there wasn't a Madden? It's like the year without a Santa Claus. But without Madden. Okay, what else is it?
Oh, God.
Oh, the normal
versus. Speaking of Madden.
Well, yeah, Madden, NFL 10 came out for everything under the sun.
Coming out on Saturday.
Coming out Saturday, okay. It's coming out for everything.
I think the 15th, right?
Everything except, yeah, there's still a PS2 version. That's nice. Mm-hmm. There's some game coming out that, like, just, like, that finally, they're like, we're not doing a PS2 version anymore. Some big release. We're talking about this last.
Astro Boy. Well, that's not a big release, but yeah.
What was it? I can't remember. Yeah. But we have Hearts of Iron 3 for the PC. So, you know, if you love Hearts of Iron 1 and 2. Death to Spies, Moment of Truth for the PC. Trials of Fossil Fighters for DS. Looks like a kind of a
Pokemon thing.
Oh, Beige, didn't you mention this last year?
I saw it at PAX, and I thought that there was a special place in marketing hell for people who combine dinosaurs and Pokemon. I mean, like, that's like little kid crack right there.
The really awesome viral thing was that they sent it to, like, the media outlets, like, in a slab of rock and with, like, a hammer and, like, the...
Oh, yeah, that's
right. They had to chisel it out. That was cool.
See, now that's cool.
Everything else about it, though. No, not so much.
Still Life 2, the PC.
Wait. About Fossil Fighters. It's published by Nintendo, right?
Is it?
I think it is, actually.
I don't know. I think it would take me too much time to investigate now.
Okay.
Real fast.
Did you say Still Life 2 on the PC?
Yeah, Still Life 2 for PC.
Interesting. Well, we enjoyed the first Still Life, so that's...
Well, there you go, then. Core for the DS.
Some kind of first-person shooter.
Shootery thing. Phantom Brave, We Meet Again for the Wii.
Oh, it's finally out.
We Meet Again. Active Life, Extreme Challenge for the Wii. Looks like some sort of other, I don't know, thing. Yeah, it looks like Nintendo is publishing Fossil Fighters. So, point for Joe.
And, coins for Club Nintendo members who register it. Okay, next.
Joint Operation Combined Arms 2009 for the PC. Brave, A Warrior's Tale for Wii. And Texas Cheat'em for the PC. All right. We got all that good.
Right.
So, we're pretty much at the end of the show. A few notes. Hey, if you haven't checked out Playing Mickey yet, me and AJ's Disney Parks theme podcast, our second episode of that went up. It's called Magic Kingdom Memories. It's just delightful, isn't it, AJ?
Yes. See, we're very wholesome in that podcast.
Yeah, we are very wholesome. There's no swearing, no cussing. We're all very... I don't make fun of you at all.
I think I used the term bejesus. I was about to say, like, shit, and I was like, bejesus.
You got mad at me because I accidentally, you, like, got some point in the first episode, like, you said shit. I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we had to start over.
Mickey, somewhere on his throne, Mickey looks down. What?
Like, this cool, please keep it on your ass, yeah.
I think Mickey's keeping his attention on Warren Spector, right?
You want me to do what?
What the hell is this? All right. So go check that out at plantmickey.wordpress.com. The next episode of the Squadcast, the Homeworld episode, I think that should be up within the next week.
Pete's got everything he needs, so it'll be out soon. And
I'm going to put the intro together as soon as we're done recording this.
Any squad members who have not yet voted, voting ends on our next mission this Sunday, so...
And it's close. It's very close between Pathologic and Freedom Fighter.
Pathologic's winning by one right now.
Well, technically, don't we have to count... I think we're counting Zach's vote, right?
Does he have an honorary vote?
Yeah, I think he put one in for Freedom Force.
Well, we'll see.
So it's still, like, tied?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so.
We'll see what happens.
Could go either way.
It's pretty intense. So besides that, just go to squadronofshame.com and you can find all of our podcasts. Don't forget, you can find out more about this show at explainrail.wordpress. What?
Yeah. No Talkotos, Turtles in Time, Tirade, Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There's one thing I want to say. Destructoid brought their review out.
Oh, yeah.
And in their goddamn review, they literally, of course they gave it like a 4 or something. And then they at one point they literally said, Turtles in Time has like an attack button, but it's not like Fable 2's context sensitive attacks. I went fucking apeshit when I read that. I was like, you are fucking comparing Turtles in Time.
Which came out like 1994.
To Fable 2. What I said to you, I said, Pac-Man, you're dumb. Be more like Bioshock.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
What the hell is wrong with Turtles in Time? Why does everyone hate it all of a sudden?
I played Turtles in Time this week. I didn't talk about it. It's good. It's fun.
It's Turtles in Time. You all played it. You loved it.
My best friend from high school was in town. We played it. We got to Shredder. We died because he got insta-killed, but it was awesome.
And people were like, it's so short, really. I'm like, it's an arcade game. Contra's short. Well, I love Contra. Is it really the 3D like overlay? Is it putting people's expectations off?
I don't know.
God, heaven forbid this game came out at $15 like it was going to.
Oh God!
Heaven forbid. I don't know. I gotta do a proper write up on this subject. I think
it should be your next big article.
Yeah, put it on my blog at givemikeajob.wordpress.com.
We can change it to once you get the job. You're gonna be like Mike has a job at wordpress.com.
If I get a job. I don't know. I've been getting so far this thing has been working out surprisingly well.
Yeah,
so maybe
I'm
I will.
Kind of shocked. Yeah, I guess how much attention you're getting.
Yeah,
you got, hey, whatever.
You got 17 comments on the Bitmob right now. So,
yeah. Of course, it's a lot of them are the typical like, well, I want to see Dead Space on the list.
You don't get it. The like, whole point of this list is how ridiculous lists are. Achievement unlocked, Mike. You've confused the internet.
Yeah. Damien, actually, who was the one who featured my story on Bitmob, He was nice enough to send me a forward to the Entertainment Consumers Association newsletter. Yeah, we had I literally read it during the show.
I don't think I've heard of that in Christmas
times. Yeah, the ECA, but apparently they have my my article listed on there as it is printed on Bitmob. I have to say, another cool thing about that was Damien, he actually kind of edited it a bit.
Yeah, so they vet up the articles that they put on the site.
Yeah, he helped make it look really... So now, like, you know, if I want to put in a resume or something, now it looks really good
because
he fixed it up. He, you know, worked through all of my kind of... my amateurness. Anyways, that's enough about how sweet I am.
Yeah.
But if you don't have enough, go to givemikeajob.wordpress.com.
Go to our site, explodingbarrel.wordpress.com.
Go visit Rock's comic course. Also.
Alternatecourse.wordpress.com.
All right.
We love WordPress.
You know, it's free and it's nice. So why not? All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. You know, gave you a lot of places to go visit. I'm sure you remembered all of them. So go now.
Shish kebaboo.
Oh wait, alternate course is not a WordPress.com.
It's not. Is it just alternate course.com?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's easier then.
Oh man, he got an actual domain.
Good thing we fixed that. He's probably listening to this, and as we were saying that WordPress.com, he's like, no!
No, they'll never find it. No. All right.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can contact.
It is a WordPress, but it is. God, never mind. It's confusing everyone now. Sorry.
Whatever. Just we got a URL. It's good enough. You can contact me at tolkoto@gmail.com, at squadronofshame.com. Don't hit me.
@guy@squadronofshame.com.
@squadronofshame.com.
And I'm on Twitter. Maybe you should do it. I guess not.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us your Twitter.
Yeah, twitter.com/Shinobu.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you here next time on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. The only thing I do that doesn't have a catchy tagline. Bye.